Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church, the 9:40 service. It's always a blessing to see your lovely faces. If you will quickly come in and grab a seat. As you're doing so, I'm going to call a good friend up, Bob Wright, who's going to share a few words with us. You're going to speak from the pulpit, Mike. That's wonderful. Can you give Bob a warm applause for being with us this morning for all three services? Thank you so much, Bob.
As a member of the missions committee, we speak often of the fact that when we talk about the mission box at the beginning of the service, oftentimes people forget about it on the way out. And so I've talked to Dan. I suggested this morning that he do a little dance after communion, and I think he frowned about that. So maybe he'll just wave his arms, do something to remind you that the mission box on your way out. And the mission box this morning is for the Micanopy Collaborators for Educational Excellence. This is a tutorial program for at-risk students, many of whom have one parent in prison. These children receive up to 4.5 hours of one-on-one tutoring per day, 4 days a week. And they also receive tutoring during the summer because at-risk students often lose up to a year of achievement during the summer. There are 25 to 30 elementary, middle, and high school students in the program, and for the past 6 years, only two students have failed to achieve at least a C average, though in the past year, 70% of the students made a B average in their last grading period. The program serves a variety of students, and it's mostly a question of at-risk and poverty for them. The tutors are need-based work-study students from the University of Florida, and they come from similar backgrounds. And those of you with a teaching background know how oftentimes that's a valuable aspect of their tutoring process. However, recent federal cutbacks and increases in tuition have caused a number of these students to drop out of college, even though they were within a year of graduation. And it also increases the tutorial costs. But hiring work-study University of Florida students means that this program serves two groups of need-based students. And they have never had a college student drop out while they were employed as tutors in this program. Now, I placed a few handouts in three different places, and there's a nice big white little poster that says Micanopy Tutors at the back, over on the far side, and over on that side. If you wish to find out more information about the Micanopy Tutoring Program. And then finally, Trinity's reputation as a giving church made this mission box possible. 3 years ago, some neighbors of mine checked me out and said, "Are you a member of Trinity?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Trinity has a reputation as a giving church, and we know of a program that needs some extra help." So it's the sort of thing that here I stand for a third year, but it grew out of Trinity's reputation. And again, I thank you for Trinity's help with this mission box.
Thanks again, Bob. Welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Please prepare your hearts and your minds as we worship God together.
Stand with us this morning as we worship, singing, Mighty to Save.
Forgiveness, kindness of the Savior.
And while you're standing, will you now join me for the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, and I want to call your attention to three things. One is, tonight is the gathering for Peace, Understanding, and Hope, third annual. We hope you can come and welcome persons from different ethnic and religious groups here. We're really grateful. Sunlight, you're going to be singing tonight right at 5:05, and they're going to sing two songs, and all the folks are excited about that. Thank you for doing that. The UF Gospel Choir is going to sing Latin dance and some other things. Bernie Matchin is going to speak. This Wednesday night is the program here. We apologize. The speaker last week wasn't able to be here or didn't show up, but the speakers this week will show up. They'll be really great. Three choices: exercise, you see it in your bulletin, nutrition, or Zumba class, and or the human trafficking class. But if you're going to come to dinner, you have to sign in, register by tomorrow at noon, so don't forget that. And twice over the last 8 or 9 years, we had Mark Gunger come, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. An outstanding thing. We have his DVDs, and the Marriage and More class is going to offer that those lectures, those talks, as part of their Sunday school class starting next Sunday, room 211. I encourage you to think about going to that. Now as we prepare for prayers, there's the prayers before you. Blanche Dearman, that's Linda Cook's mom. Margaret Garrett Hughes, I saw Bob. Margaret's on her way to Shan's rehab as we speak, he said. So keep them in your prayers. Now I'm going to show a video. A friend of mine, Bob Bouchong, is the pastor of First United Methodist Church in Winter Park. And he and I over the summer talked about a young woman, 8th grade, I believe, in his church, who was born with an illness. They'll mention it on the video. I can't recall the name of it, but it causes your hands and feet not to form like other people's. They call it lobster claw. And she has had to withstand some pettiness, some bullying. And she's written a book called First Day Speech. And she gives this to lots of classes. And she was just on the Today Show recently. And so this clip is from the Today Show. And then after that, Dave is going to pray. But I think it's worth showing, most to celebrate her human spirit and to keep these persons in mind. One other thing that, David, you might want to pray about. After the Interfaith Hospitality Network people were with us this week, Marilyn Clugston shared with me right before the first service that a family joined them, a mother and a couple of children joined them Friday night. She lost her job 10 months ago. She was too embarrassed to tell anybody, which meant she didn't get help, which meant she lost her place to stay. And she came here, and Marilyn gave the little girl crayons and paper, and the little girl said, "Oh, wonderful, I'm going to write a letter to God thanking Him that I had a safe place to stay last night." I just wish you'd keep that family also in your prayer. You know, the human spirit, empowered by God, is amazing. And the challenges also out there are very difficult as well. Let's watch this video of the Today Show.
As kids head back to school, a big concern for parents is bullying. And middle schooler in Orlando, who has a unique perspective on what it feels like to be different, is on a mission to teach other kids why it's wrong. NBC's Mark Potter has her story.
I know you're really excited because our first lab is going to involve rockets.
In preschool, I had a lot of questions and a lot of people making fun of me about my hands.
13-year-old Izzy Hadala knows that she is different. She was born with ectodermal dysplasia, commonly known as lobster claw syndrome, a genetic condition where the hands, teeth, and toes don't form properly.
Sometimes I would just have such a bad day that I would come home and I would cry because it was just too much for me to really take.
But instead of giving in to the teasing, she did something about it.
That's right here. Welcome to first grade, Izzy.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Ever since first grade, Izzy has been speaking to school children about her condition.
Any difference can be worrisome to a child, especially when meeting new people.
Trying to spread her anti-bullying message.
This means that I have some physical differences with my hands and my feet.
She recently spoke to eighth graders at her school in Orlando.
I've been bullied a lot, so I know what it's like to be on that side of the fence. So for me to, since I have, you know, a voice now, I can go out there and tell everyone not to bully people, that people that are different are just the same on the inside.
Izzy even wrote a book called The First Day Speech about a little boy named Nathan on his first day at school and what it's like to feel different.
I just think that if it's in schools and if the kids read this book, that they will, I mean, through Nathan, I think they'll see that Nathan is like all kids and that everyone, I mean, they shouldn't make fun of anyone.
So no more running.
Even Izzy's doctor is impressed with how she handles herself.
I've seen her for many, many years, so she's never really said that she couldn't do anything. So if she wants to play soccer, she can play soccer. It's not what you see on the outside, but what's on the inside.
Maybe others might stop and think, what if I was in those shoes? And think about it from those terms to help stop. You know, not just the obvious bullying that we've all come to associate, but some of the silent messages that are sent at school that make people feel excluded.
She says you can give yourself.
Izzy hopes her message will make all kids feel good about themselves.
I always felt that mission to go out there and teach everyone to not make fun of people because that's just wrong. When people see me, I really want them to see me as someone that is different, but that is making a difference.
For today, Mark Potter, NBC News, Miami.
Thank you.
Praise God. If you will grab the hand for your neighbor if you feel comfortable in doing so. Janet is going to play softly, and I just want to share, as we enter the prayer, three encouraging notes that I shared with the Friday night service that I think is befitting for this morning. And it is, be confident in your faith, remain calm, and trust that God has your best interest at heart. Hope you can receive that. Be confident in your faith, remain calm in God, and trust that God has your best interest at heart. Let us at this time pray. Gracious God, we come to you now. We thank you so much for this beautiful service. We do invoke and invite your anointing and your Holy Spirit to be among us in a special way. God, we thank you for the video that reminds us that we can celebrate our differences and that we share a common bond because you created us all in your image. And you've called us, O Lord, and you love us with an unconditional compassion, care, and concern. God, we thank you for the young lady who's within the video. We pray for her that her classmates and teachers will respect and receive her. And understand that though we're different, we're really all the same, O God, because we're family, we're community, O Lord, and we're united as one. God, we do pray for this church, those who are recuperating in the hospitals, those who are grieving the deaths of loved ones, O God, and all of our families that are still shifting to the new school system, etc., and the new school year. I pray for teachers. I pray for students as well, and even class bullies, O God. We pray that you'll just touch their hearts this morning and allow them to understand that they don't have to behave that way. So God, we pray that you'll just undergird us all, our families, O Lord, our businesses, our roles in life, O God, that you'll just give us, O Lord, the means of your grace to continue to do the good things that please you. God, we do pray for the ministries that make up this church, all of the leaders that make up this church. We do ask your hand of favor and blessing upon us all. And, O God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever we pray. Amen. I love that song. Friends, let me just share a quick word with you regarding Stephen Ministry. We apologize to the Stephen Ministry team. We had a video prepared, but the sound is not working out so well. So let me just put a quick plug in for Stephen Ministry. As a Stephen minister, you would meet weekly one-on-one for about an hour to listen, care, and encourage, and pray with someone in need. It's really a compassion ministry. And a special information meeting is coming up on September the 13th, informational meeting at 7 p.m. in room 212. So if you're interested, please see me after the service. And if you need a Stephen minister, you can just call the church and say, hey, I need a Stephen minister, and we will partner you with the minister. Speaking of the song that Alice just sang, I'll raise you up on eagle's wings. Will you raise, stand to your feet now, and just tell your neighbor, I'm so glad to see you this morning.
Thank you.
you may be seated. As you're taking your seats, will you bow your heads with me for a brief morning prayer? Gracious God, we do thank you for the gifts and the graces that you entrust to us as a church. And we're reminded of the scriptures that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Bless, O Lord, this offering in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joey McGinn, and this morning, Sunlight will be singing Shower the People by James Taylor. In the song, James Taylor says, you can play the game, you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? I feel like this tells us that sometimes in our lives, we can get hurt, and sometimes we can get hurt really bad. And in order to protect ourselves, we put up this facade of, I'm fine, really, don't worry about me. But really, what we need to do is we need to trust others, and we need to say, they're here to help me, and so is God. God is always there to help you with whatever you have. And don't be ashamed to show him how you feel. Don't be ashamed to be hurt by something. Later in the song, he also talks about, and what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. I feel that James Taylor is saying the one thing that stands in the way of us loving each other is our pride. Sometimes we think we're always right. In an argument, I'm right, they're not. It can happen any time. But what we have to do is we have to realize that instead of letting our pride get the better of us, we need to shower the people we love. Show them the way that we feel. And now singing Shower the People is Jasmine Gabriel and Dylan Probert.
Show them the way that you feel.
Awesome. Thank you, Jasmine and Dylan and Sunlight. Thanks for coming tonight. I'm eager for the whole Gainesville community to experience Sunlight. Sunlight, I'm going to mention a name of somebody today that I doubt if any of you know who this is, but I bet 80% of the people out here know who this is. Do any of you know the name Walter Cronkite? Do any of you know the name Walter Cronkite? Yeah, that's a generational deal. I mentioned Walter Cronkite because he was sort of the voice of the news for a lot of us for 60s, 70s, and 80s. And he's kind of known as Uncle Walter Cronkite. And I still remember him sharing about John F. Kennedy's assassination and the gravitas and the power of that, of him taking off his black rimmed glasses and saying John F. Kennedy has died. And he ended each of his news programs, 6:30 evening news, with, "And that's the way it is." And then he gave the date. And we believed him. And it was immeasurable trust. I long for those days. Because now, my experience is, bunches of people don't trust CBS, ABC, or NBC News. Bunches of people don't trust Fox News, O'Reilly. Bunches of people don't trust MSNBC News. We have a lack of trust. Who do you believe? I kind of long for old Uncle Walter Cronkite. At Princeton, they had a little shrine there. It's funny. I mean, you wouldn't think of graduate students sort of admiring somebody in authority, but every 6:30 night, they'd gather around the TV and watch Walter Cronkite give the news. Today's sermon is on the power of trust and the pain when it's broken, and I had thought I would end this sermon with when trust is broken, how to rebuild it, but that's going to have to come next week. I just had a sense that that was going to be another sermon. That's all right. I think we need to live with this a little bit longer. Let's look at the scripture passage this morning. It's from 1 Corinthians 13. I remind you that 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse of chapter 12, says, after all these gifts, let me show you the more excellent way, the way of love. And we began with love is patient, love is kind. Now we come to love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then this powerful passage from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. I like to bring in things from other places as well as Scripture. And one of you shared with me a book by Stephen Covey, Jr., the younger Stephen Covey, called The Speed of Trust. Powerful stuff. Let me bring that up, if we would, right now. Listen to this. There's one thing that changes everything. Obviously, this is the word trust, but I hope you'll just slow down with me, let this sink into us. There's really one thing that changes everything that is in common to every individual, relationship, team, family, organization, nation, economy, and civilization throughout the world. One thing which, if removed, will destroy the most powerful government, the most successful business, the most thriving economy, the most influential leadership, the greatest friendship or marriage or relationship, the strongest character, the deepest love. On the other hand, if developed and leveraged, that one thing has the potential to create unparalleled success and prosperity in every dimension of life. Yet it is the least understood, most neglected, most underestimated possibility of our time. That one thing is trust. You and I can't exist without it. Relationships can't exist. Leadership can't exist. Nothing can exist. Trust impacts us 24/7, 365 days a year. It undergirds and affects the quality of every relationship, every communication, every work project, every business venture, every effort in which we are engaged. It changes the quality of every present moment and alters the trajectory and outcome of every future moment of our lives. That one thing is trust. Trust. When trust is broken, when trust isn't there, things take on a whole different arena. And I was working on this and trying to put the sermon together on Thursday mornings, which has become my pattern. Jen, who's now retired, came into the study and she held a book in her hand that was, she said, this was my Bible when we were at Princeton. This is my PhD. Let's bring that up if you would. The Child Self-Esteem. And she said, it was her PhD. I mean, she lived by this book. It was powerful upon her relationship with our kids and with everybody else. And she said, here's the chapter 8, the safety of trust. Everybody needs growing up and when you're an adult. The safety which fosters trust. The cornerstone of the love that nurtures is emotional safety. Am I safe here? Can I trust you? The bedrock of safety is trust. Gentle respect for the child and quiet friendliness build trust. Gentle respect and kindness. That's what builds trust. This text today says love always trusts. Now what does it mean? Does it mean that love always naively trusts no matter what somebody does to somebody else? I don't think that's what Paul's saying. I think he's saying love always fosters trust. Love always nurtures a climate of trust. Love always is trustworthy. Because love and trust go hand in hand and you can't really have or feel one without the other. Tom Peters says it this way. Tom Peters, the business guru, says it this way. Ask yourself mercilessly, do I exude trust? E-X-U-D-E. Do I smack of trust? Now, I received some letters from people this week about a broken trust. One person shared that I'm one of those 1 in 3 who've experienced domestic violence. And I can tell you how difficult it is to trust. The hardest thing is learning to trust yourself again after you extricate yourself from the situation. You have this guilt that you trusted someone who opted for verbal and physical abuse. So you have to rebuild trust in yourself. And it comes through faith in God. One other one I'll share with you. Some would say I had the trust of a child way into adulthood. I prefer to think of it as naivete. Or better yet, blessed with great parents with a good moral upbringing. I had no reason not to trust until after a 20-year marriage. I found myself in the middle of a divorce. I had been in an abusive marriage for many of those 20 years, but was too scared to leave. Besides, I somehow had lost my self-esteem over the years of marriage and thought the verbal abuse was my fault. Through women's retreats and the rebuilding class at Trinity UMC, puts in parentheses, Sharon and Earl McDowell are lifesavers. And indeed they are, and we owe Earl a great deal, and Sharon. And other classes at church, she regained her sense of trust. My heart healed. I learned to love myself again, forgive and not forget. I met a great man at the Possum Creek the year you rode in on a horse, as I recall. And a year and a half, several Possum Creeks later, he asked me to marry him. I ran into that trust issue again, but now I trusted myself and trusted God would look after us. And He has. Trust. Do you exude a sense of trust? Are you trustworthy? Let me kind of go to the other end of this, because trust isn't just those big things of broken relationships like in there. This morning I woke up and, as I'm prone to do, I had these spontaneous ideas. And Jen, like the book said, likes the safety of knowing what's going to happen, which has made it difficult for her to live with me all these years. But so I had this great idea. Hey, what if we, right after church, did this and this with these folks? And Jan said, well, you know, we had a really busy day yesterday, and you've got this thing tonight and this and that. And she said, I really don't think that's a good idea. I said, well, she said, well, if you want to, you know, I suppose you could text them and see if such and such. And so I thought, well, should I do this or not? As I'm riding to church, and I thought about texting them when I got here, and then I prayed. I said, God, show me the way. And then it was like a bold letters. You idiot, what are you preaching on today? How are you going to build trust when you really know what Jan wants to have happen and you're going to... Boy, it's a subtle thing, isn't it? How you and I build on trust or erode trust. And if any of your ribs are hurting, I'm sorry about that right now. Let's see what Gandhi said. The moment there is suspicion about a... By the way, I didn't text the person. I want you to know that. The moment there is suspicion about a person's motives, everything he or she does becomes tainted. Once trust is lost, tainted. The next one is Eckhart. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to your relationship, as you go to wherever you go, your top responsibility should be to build trust. Build trust. Without it, it's an enormous challenge, an enormous problem. Andy Roddick, the great tennis player, Covey tells this story. In 2005, he's at the Italian Masters Tournament in Rome. He's playing against Fernando Verdasco of Spain. It's match point. Verdasco serves his second shot. Umpire rules it out of bounds. He comes up to shake Roddick's hand. Roddick says, no, it was in bounds. And he took the umpire over to the clay court area where the ball hit. You could see the indentation. It was clearly in bounds. Roddick went on to lose that match, but gained enormous sense of trust. Covey mentions these things, the six waves of trust. They're sort of like concentric circles. God trust, self trust, relationship trust. And they work themselves out from within. It begins with a sense of trusting in God, just like Jesus when he said, consider the lilies of the field in the Sermon on the Mount. And he went on to say, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, your child wouldn't ask for a bread and you give them rock. How much more would your Father in heaven who loves you give you good gifts? You can trust God. That's where it begins. You and I can regain, have a deep sense of trusting God. Now, let me just say a word here that needs more time, but I'm going to say it here. I'm not one who is clear always about what God did or didn't do. Some people said, when something good happened, see, God answered my prayers. And I want to say, well, what about the times when something bad happened? Did God answer your prayers too? Or when Siobhan was in recovery, and people would say, God did something there. And I wanted to say, well, what about the others? And so we didn't say God did this or God did that. We said, we're really grateful for every step forward. This friend of mine in Nigeria, perhaps you've seen this, but bring up the next slide, would you? I just think this is so much better. God is too good to be unkind. God is too wise to be confused. I can trust that. I believe that. When I cannot see God's hand, I can always trust God's heart. I believe that. And then it moves on to self-trust, where you and I can regain a sense of trust in ourselves. And that takes time. But only when that's in place can we move on to be trustworthy in relationships and on the rest of it. As I said, it's haunted me. Why don't you say something about it? Because there are going to be people sitting out there who've broken trust. Almost all of us. But I don't have time to go to rebuilding trust. Can it be rebuilt? Yes, it can, and I'll talk about that next week. I hope you'll come back for that because I feel really strongly about that. And I thought, well, maybe I really felt God's leading this. Maybe it's just as well that we let this settle upon us. We don't rush too quickly to a solution, but we just let it settle upon us how important trust is. How important trust is. And so as we prepare for communion, I just would invite you to know that there's a time of confession. And so when we mention that Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and feed on me by faith. And this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Isn't it true that all of us are in need of His grace? And so I'd ask you to join me in a prayer now. God, I speak for myself. I speak for everyone in this room. All of us have broken trust at one time or another or multiple times with You, with those closest to us. Some of us here today don't know quite how to repair that. Some of us are well on the way to recovering of that. But trust is such a sacred thing without which other things can't exist. And so as we receive the bread and the cup, we ask, "Would You forgive us, God?" And we say, "Thank You, God, that in receiving the bread and the cup, we receive the very power and presence and forgiveness of the indwelling Christ." We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand as you're able and as we sing, come forward and receive the gift of bread and cup, if you would. Sunlight, it does me good to see all of you take communion. And I'll give a long benediction and give you time to get back up there to do the sweet, sweet spirit. Hey, David, hand me that microphone, would you? Mike Gracie, come up here a second, would you? Mike Gracie, come up here. 2 years ago, Mike Gracie was at near-death door and a long time in a coma. And he played golf yesterday. Mike, just say two words. Just say two words.
I love all of you. And I shot 99 yesterday.
Take somebody's hand, would you? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.